Welcome to the Wednesday night Ladies Bible Study for the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Well, welcome everyone. Karen, are you there?
Yes, welcome everyone to the Wednesday Women's Bible Study. And this evening we have the four of us, not together, but at Grace Ranch we have Robin Atherton.
Hello, everyone.
And we have Ann Utzler.
Hi, all. Welcome.
And we have Megan Atherton.
Hello, everybody.
And I'm Karen Hawker, and I'm in Lake Havasu this evening. And this evening, we're going to begin a study of the book of Galatians.
So, Karen, if you would start reading and read verse 1.
Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace and peace to you. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, stop there for a minute. This sentence doesn't really have a period for another verse or two, but... You know, we all know that Paul is writing to a people in Galatia who had received the gospel in its simplicity and pureness. And he's now writing to them because they've taken heed to perversions which have moved them away from the salvation that is only found in that pure gospel. And so he starts out with actually his place and position in the body of Christ, and that appointment of that position of apostleship was one that God made. So he goes through it. He says, Paul, an apostle. He was an apostle. And it wasn't of men. Man didn't have anything to do with it. Man didn't choose him. And set him in that position, but actually he was set there by Jesus Christ. And the interesting thing about by Jesus Christ is that even as God had given him the 12, one of which was a devil, and 11 remained, God gave Jesus Paul. It was after his death and resurrection, but it was in the exact same manner that he gave Peter and John and James and the others.
What's interesting in that, if there is no man that was a Christian at that time that would have called Paul even to be a brother in the Lord, much less call him an apostle. The only way that could happen was Jesus himself appeared to him on the road to Damascus and made him and called him to be an apostle.
Yes.
If he would have been rejected, he was rejected for a while till they got to know that he really was on their side.
Yeah. And you figure that he had heard the gospel because he was present at Stephen's stoning and had not received it. But that is a very good point. And then he goes on, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And there's reference here, and I believe as we go through this chapter, but certainly right here, you know, it is the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, and that is that same power that Paul walked in by faith, not by any goodness of his own. Now, he was a man of a zeal, always had been for the Lord, though his zeal was misspent prior to meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, but it didn't wane even after. And he was the most zealous. He's also of the 12 original apostles, of which he is one in the sense of this early church and its founding. There were 11 to the Jews and one to the Gentiles, and Paul is that man who was given to bring the gospel perfectly to the Gentiles. And here he says, and all the brethren which are with me. And I thought about this, because on the one hand, you know, there were brethren with him. Luke was likely with him. I don't know who else, but
maybe Timothy.
Maybe. But you figure, whether Timothy was present in the flesh or not, in the spirit he was with Paul. So that those people that adhered to Paul's gospel, which was given to him by God, that he perfectly ministered to all, those who received it and stood in it and in no way added or took anything from him, would be with him. And this greeting then is sent from those who are in the body of Christ through the faith of Jesus Christ, by the blood of the Lamb, and by grace. And they are greeting, basically, the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting because Paul, as in that position, of authority in Christ Jesus, was in a position to give that. We're in positions to give grace by our actions and our heart. And when you think of the scripture that says, be at peace with all men as much as is within you to be, you know, it's that kind of thing that we can give. We can be at peace in our service to God with all men and with our hearts set on the knowledge of, I mean, I can be at peace with you, a sinner, because I'm at peace with him, not him a sinner, but me a sinner at peace with him. So, you know, the peace isn't our perfection. The peace is our faith and hope in the gospel. And also the grace, you know, I walk by grace. So what is it? It's a small thing to know that that's how you walk. So you can look at me in the flesh, or I can look at you in the flesh, or you can look at me in the spirit, and I can look at you in the spirit. It's one or the other. But Paul and those who are with him extend the grace and the peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, which was wrought, and that ability to, for God to give it to us through that blood. I mean, it's right there for us. It's available, but it comes through knowing that the reason why you can receive it is because of what he did. And that's the only reason. And stand in that. So he starts off right away establishing the fact that he is bringing the truth to them. He's an apostle sent by God, or by God, and that with him comes, he's bringing that grace and peace that comes from God, but they got to take it. And that means they have to give up that which isn't of God. So, Megan, verse 4.
Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, so now he goes on. This was what I was talking referring to. He gave himself for our sins. We're sinners. But he paid the price for it. It's finished. It's settled. If we'll settle it, we can move on in him. And then it goes on to say that he might deliver us. It's not that he will. It is our joining with him and accepting that and standing in it that allows him to do that which he wants to do in everybody, and that everybody has an equal need of. It's not like there's some bad people and some good people. We're all just facing bad. But he wants, his desire is to deliver us from this present evil world. Now, obviously, when we die and we have believed, we are delivered. But even in him at this moment, he wants to deliver us from it if we will but believe. And it's, did you have anything to say? And according to the will of God. Well, this is the will of God. That's why Jesus came down to earth to die. And he didn't die for a specific person. He died for all who would believe. He didn't have some scale that he would think about some but accept others freely. It's a free gift to all. And it is the will of God. To whom be glory forever and ever. And the whole work is one that he wrought. He wrought it on the cross, and then he continues it in the spirit, but you gotta submit to him and join with him for that work to work, for him to have the ability to work. And he does get all the glory. And one thing I was thinking about before you ladies came over is, one of the things about the gospel is you recognize you cannot do it. We talk a lot about motives and all. And I don't care what we do outside of Christ, our motives always turn to evil. In Christ, we're free of that and can serve him because we know he's the author, but not us. So we can, you know, we can just stand in doing all things as unto him, knowing that he's the author of that which is good. And we can praise him for it because, I don't know about you, but I have never done anything good that I could go be settled about, and I go to bed thinking, oh, what a good girl I am, you know. I could go to bed thinking, crap, what a bad girl I am, what do I do about it, you know. But to know that that's just the truth, and that he's clothed me in his goodness and be satisfied with the simplicity of that, notwithstanding my flesh, is a beautiful thing, and it is the gospel that we have had ministered to us by Paul, and of course by others who are disciples of Paul, and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Karen.
I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
Okay, so it's astounding. It's, how can this be? Turn down the volume, please, on the thingy. Yeah. Okay. Excuse me. That he, and what does it say here? That you are so soon removed. So they had it once. They accepted Christ on his terms once, and then they moved away from it. And what does it say here? They called you into the grace of Christ. And that's the thing. The only salvation is by that grace. It's, you know, it's called the gospel of grace. Our hope is because he makes up the difference. That is our hope, not our works.
Amen.
And the work is to believe on him. That's the work. And anything else is another gospel. But there is no such thing. So as he says there, which is not another, there is not another gospel. There are other things that portray themselves as the gospel, but they're not. And they're perversions. And there are people who would trouble you and me with that which is not of God.
We've experienced that over the years.
Certainly.
And, you know, sometimes they come up, it sounds good. But we always have to go back to the Word. How does it compare to the Word? And that's our protection. But you have to study the Word of God to know it. Because you can be deceived very easy.
You know, I know it. I know for myself, but I know it's true that certainly a man or woman alone, the Lord can minister in that single place through his Word. But let us not be deceived that we don't need the counsel and that kind of rock-tumbling effect of others to keep us. Because if all we read was the Word, we could still be deceived. it is through that obedience and submission that brings us to the right place if we'll hear it. We're exercised by it. We know here at Grace Ranch, it's not like we're always said, oh, you are so good continually. We get called on things. But that's what opens our eyes. Sometimes I don't see until it's told me. Or it brings back to remembrance things that I need to put off. So you get both. Or sometimes you get things brought back to remembrance that from the past. And there's always a reason. But just reading the Bible by yourself doesn't necessarily mean you wouldn't be deceived. It really is in that fellowship that we are kept, which is why we're exhorted to exhort one another, edify one another, all of these things, because we all need it. Well, I know when I started coming to Megan, your house, Megan, for Wednesday nights, some of that for me was I was alone my entire life. I worked alone. I went home alone, and there I sat, and it wasn't healthy for me. So to begin to step out of that, I would go over and stay at Steve and Megan's Wednesday night, go to work from there because I had to get out of that kind of thing. And that was a strong thing on me. It was comfortable. Didn't require a lot of me, but it wasn't healthy for my heart and mind to be in that place by myself. So we're not islands unto ourselves. We're a part of his body.
With his word as our standard.
With his word as our standard, but we minister one to another and need that because we all need to remember again. Megan, I think it's your turn.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
And, of course, this one's very interesting. He gives a second witness. First sentence, second sentence, two witnesses. It is the word of God. It is true. And we know there are religions that give testimony to a new gospel or an addition to gospels, Mormonism being, the obvious example, obviously, to us, but there was supposedly an angel that came down from heaven and spoke to Joseph, whatever it was,
Smith.
But, anybody who moves off of the fact that our entire hope, our entire right standing, our entire ability to move forward and learn how to walk in his kingdom and serve him in that place, being delivered from this present evil world and the way we walked in this kingdom of this world in time past, all is bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. And it happens by him, in him, because we're in him, not in our flesh, but in our spirit. And if, when it says here, but though we... I mean, if Paul preached another gospel, he's saying, believe the gospel I preached. If I come and bring another one, know I'm wrong, and I'm cursed for doing so. And anybody is cursed. And being cursed by God isn't a safe place. So beware of the gospel that you bring and minister to another. Praise God for his grace. I'm sure we've all ministered things that have been of the law in things rather than the grace at times. But this is really where you pervert the gospel.
It might be easy to believe a heavenly being. But it's, as he's saying, beware. Because, of course, we know that Satan's able to transform himself into an angel of light. So he would look just like that. If it doesn't agree with the word, it is not of the word.
And that's the second witness and the first, and Megan the second there. the word is the standard that even Paul adhered to. Right. 10, Karen.
For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
Okay. So, you know, basically Paul is saying he's not moved and grooved by whether they accept him, whether they like what he says, or anything. He's moved by that which God has told him to minister and to do, and that's it. And he, in the sense of persuading men, he wants to persuade men to believe the truth, but he is not ruled by man's response.
If they don't accept it, it's not going to move him.
It's not going to move him. Gosh, I remember when, I think it was Festus, but in the end of Acts, when he's now in chains and he goes through the different rulers moving up, and I think it was Festus, and he goes, you've almost persuaded me, Paul. And he said, I wish that I had persuaded you and that all men were persuaded. But he wasn't certainly not persuaded by men, but he ministered in the hope of persuading men unto the knowledge of the truth. And that was what God called him to do, and he did it zealously in service to God. So, Megan.
But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For another received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Okay, so certify is to make a statement of fact. This is an absolute fact, yes. The gospel which he preaches is not after man. It's not some invention of man. Or him. He was steeped in the law. But it was by revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself taught Paul the gospel, or revealed the gospel to Paul.
There probably wasn't one man out there that would have tried to share the gospel with Paul because they feared him.
Well, that, and you know, Paul was not under any of them. And that's the other thing. He was called of God. He was not under Peter or John or James. And you notice here he says he wasn't taught it. It was revealed to him. And that's a distinction. We are taught it. It was revealed to him. But yes, the other apostles would, it wouldn't have even probably been safe for them. But certainly God did not put him under them. And they were not his father in the Lord. We all have fathers in the Lord. He had God as his father in the Lord, even as the other apostles did. And as all apostles down through to this day, when they are no longer under the schoolmaster of an earthly head. So in the day, if it comes, when Steve stands and Davy isn't here, his head is Jesus Christ. Now his head is Richard D. Eitzler Sr. Even as we saw with Timothy, Timothy taught him. You saw it in the relationship with Paul. In the relationship with Moses and Joshua, because God commanded Moses to teach Joshua. And then Joshua stood and taught the others. And you saw in Joshua 1 where God came and spoke directly to Joshua. Before then, Moses spoke directly to Joshua, and God spoke directly to Moses. And so it is. So, Karen?
For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers.
So it's interesting that Paul brings up the testimony of his past, because he is ministering to a people who have given heed to the Jewish law as being necessary. So here he is, a man that was more zealous in it, although he says here notably that he was exceedingly zealous of the traditions of the fathers, of his fathers. If any man is a testimony that the law will not profit you, Paul is, because he was profited by it more than any of his peers. And yet, through that revelation, understood it had to all be put off, that there was no benefit to being under the law because you couldn't keep it. He could keep the traditions, obviously. But the law is something that, to keep it, it means your heart has to be perfect. And our hearts aren't. They can be made perfect in Christ. But the hearts that we were born with and walked our lives with and motivated us can't be done. And he was obviously more exceedingly zealous than his equals. So, Megan.
But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to return in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus.
Okay. So here we see real distinctions and separations between apostles, and I won't say all apostles, but apostles like Paul and the other 11 and down through the ages. He was known by God and called from his mother's womb. The rest of us weren't known. Paul was known, and he, like the rest of us, was called by his grace, but Jesus accomplished that in him. He stood in it with zeal and would not be removed, though he had his he had his times of, thank God, God delivered him, like when he took the vow that you read about in Acts and was to appease the Jews, and that didn't have any fruition, so Paul was delivered. But why did God separate Paul from his mother's womb and call him by his grace and reveal his son in him so that he could teach the heathen, us, the gospel? That's why. God does not leave this earth witnessless. And what did he do? He didn't go and run to the apostles to make sure he had it right or get their approval or anything like that. But he went right out and started to do that which God had called him to do, and that is to minister in Arabia and Damascus. And returned again unto Damascus, the famous place he was headed when the Lord knocked him off his high horse. And then, Karen, unless you guys have something to add.
Well, this goes back to what you were saying about him not being under anybody. And the Lord confirmed his word to him with power and with signs that proved, if you will, to him his word, and he ministered to him those 3 days a week that he was blind.
Yeah.
I apologize, I don't exactly remember how long it was, but you can read Acts 9 and find out. He did that. He went immediately about the Lord's business.
Yeah.
The thing is, then he didn't go to, as you said, the other apostles to confer with them. He didn't go and say, "Am I right?" or seeking their approval. He had all the approval he needed, and that was Jesus.
You know, it would have almost been as though he went to say, "Hey, I'm one of you guys. Aren't I great?" or something. And I know that the Word of God says that he was shown how much he was going to suffer for Christ. And certainly there were martyrs we know. James, the brother of John, was martyred, and others. And there's a suffering in that, don't get me wrong. But you figure Paul, through his whole ministry, was more often rejected than accepted, had death threats, was beaten, was killed, stoned to death. But he also, now we see that rejection right here. He's trying to win them back, so to speak, to the simplicity of the gospel from that which will take them to hell. But he did suffer. You know, he gave his own testimony that he lost everything, but he gained Christ. And he was faithful to the end.
If you have Christ, that's all you need.
Yeah. But you have to make the choice to have him be sufficient. Because we do naturally feel like emotionally we'll feel something. Physically we might think we need something. But if we believe him, then we know that we have everything we need. So, Megan.
Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things that I write, things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not.
Okay, so after 3 years, it says, yeah, he went to Jerusalem and he abode with Peter. But he said he saw James, but other than that, he didn't see any of them. So it's not that he didn't see them, and it's not like they were rejected by him, but truth is he didn't need them. And in ways we see that they needed him, because they would have perverted the gospel for the Gentiles. We know that because he went up, gave the testimony of what God had done, and, you know, James wrote down these three things will require of the Gentiles. Paul was fine with that. Four things. Okay, sorry about that. Not the things offered to idols, things strangled, the blood in them, not to fornicate. What's the fourth one?
That was it. You said four.
I did?
Mm-hmm.
Things sacrificed to idols, things strangled,
blood.
Okay.
And fornication.
Okay. Four. I can't count. I have to go back into homeschooling. anyways.
You can be your teacher.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then he gives that testimony in 20, which is similar to the one he gave before where he certified. He says, the things that I write unto you, before God, he lies not. So this, you have to figure, Paul's very bold. He's bold in who and what he is in Christ. Now, that wasn't something he felt in his flesh, because he had to wrestle down his flesh like anyone else does. But he was who he was, and it was important for people to know it so they could take heed. And these things that he's writing to them is to their benefit. He's not lying. Every single thing he wrote here, they needed to hear. And so it is, so do we. And before God, that's the kind of, if I'm wrong, God's going to do something about it. I'm not wrong. God didn't do anything about it. He wasn't hiding it. It wasn't done under a bushel. This is out in the open. And he's making a bold statement. But it's only bold if you mix your flesh with the Spirit. If you stand in the Spirit It's just the truth. It's a, he believed. Megan, would you, before you read, Perry's read, would you say that Paul so zealously persecuted Christians helped him to be more compassionate to those who were against Christ and gave him a certain humility also? Anne's got a thoughtful look, so I'm going to let her give answer.
Don't have an answer.
You know, I do think Paul had an understanding that did, by which he understood and so took less offense. But I don't, I must say that is there any of us whose sin is not, is so small that we can't have compassion upon another sinner? You know, Paul's sin was great. He was, he gave approval of Stephen's death. He had letters to go to imprison and kill others. I mean, he was about killing these guys. That's not a good thing. I mean, he was on the wrong side of that coin. Certainly he did it thinking he was serving God. That's why in Acts where it says, who art thou, Lord? Like, you're the Lord? He didn't know. But I have not met somebody whose sin is greater than mine or whose action towards me is something I would like to see them go to hell for. You know? So, though I think there's truth to that, I don't see how it undermines being of like mind in any of the rest of us. Certainly he understood the position of a Pharisee against Christ, though. So, being as, let's see, maybe Karen said something here. I'm going to let Megan go ahead and read, unless she had something
to say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You were talking about Paul versus the Jews and how they needed him. What you see with the Jews, with the apostles, the other 11, Peter in particular, because he's always opening his mouth, and so you hear what he says and what he thinks the most. But in some ways, they were trying to sort of, he talked about the Jewish religion. They were trying to sort of, in a way, attach Jesus to their traditions in a little bit of a way. And Paul helped keep them from actually going down that path.
Yeah, yeah. And we know that. He rebuked Peter to his face. Peter, who was the one who was there when the Lord baptized Cornelius and his household, showing his acceptance for them. Exactly as there. You know, that's the interesting thing. We forget that when God accepts us, he has accepted us. And we weren't some glorious creature. And to think that somehow we in our natural man become glorious and now we're really accepted, or you have to become something to be really accepted. It happened right there. You had to maintain that simple truth as you grow in him and in the knowledge of his ways, his kingdom, and service in that kingdom. But the acceptance occurred. It was a one-time thing. And there, you can't get reaccepted on different terms, which is kind of what we're looking at here. People that thought now the terms were different and now I'm acceptable. No, you're still not.
This is what you're talking about there. We've talked about before in this Bible study, not this particular one, but weeks gone by, which goes back to verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him. As soon as you turn to another gospel, somehow thinking there's something other than Jesus' blood on the cross that is sufficient, that's it. And it happens phenomenally quickly, like you said with Peter. He was there.
God had even told him, don't call that which I have made clean unclean. And that he found himself calling that which God had made clean unclean.
So if we see that in somebody like Peter, who really was somebody whose faith to emulate, follow, we really need to watch for that in our own hearts, because that happens incredibly easy.
Well, if you stop and think, praise God that Paul, who came after them, did not walk with Jesus on the earth when he was walking on the earth, had the faithfulness and love for Peter, faithfulness of God and love for Peter to go and correct Peter. But that's what sure. I was saying. A man, you can read the word, you can know the word, you can quote the word, you can quote it from cover to cover, which I can't do, but there may be some people that can. But, you know, there we need the faithfulness of God extended up to us from others to keep us. We're not islands unto ourselves. That's why fellowship is so important. But, yeah. So, I don't know. Karen is typing, but in the meantime.
21?
Yes, please.
Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me.
Now, isn't that a beautiful statement? They were thankful and glorified God that this man who so persecuted and hated them had turned. That's a praise God. And it's also here again, you know, Paul's giving a testimony that they need to hear that that which he ministers is true. And these are witnesses to that and to the thanksgiving to God for it, because they got to get this. And he's talking here about the churches of Judea. Now, he's talking about churches that are faithful in Christ. They aren't those who have gone around and received the perversion that the many Jews were seeking to do. And they glorified God that he which had previously gone about trying to destroy the faith now preached it, because they themselves had received it. And they themselves knew the truth of the gospel. And they themselves glorified God that it was being ministered that others too might know. You know, I mean, Paul was the man. I don't know what else to say. That's the end of chapter one. And Karen is there. I don't know why we lost her on the audio, if in fact we did. But
I'm here.
Okay. You look at any... buddy, and we have certain people. We have Paul. We have Moses to look at, who wasn't a preacher of the gospel. What he was, though, is he was a man who was willing to serve God at all cost. It cost him a lot. You know, I mean, he was had to stand when everybody blamed him for everything and all that kind of stuff. And Paul did likewise. He was willing to. He truly gave his life for the sake of the gospel and all that he would naturally have found pleasurable or benefited from.
Jeremiah,
who had maybe the worst of the testimonies.
He had a tough life in the natural sense if you were looking at his life.
Yeah. But they were servants of God, and God, that which was in service to him, trumped their own natural cells, because Jeremiah found himself in a bad place, you know. I mean, let's be realistic. In the natural, I mean, we would all have to struggle through that to praise God, even as he did. But the point is, will you? Because the call is there for all of us. The same death that they gave testimony to is the same death we're called to. So, I hope you guys will join us, or gals, guys, men and women, boys and girls, next week when we look into chapter 2 of Galatians. So, good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night. Thanks for joining us.
Amen.
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If
you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.